Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Common Sense. You know, the controversy around COVID-19 is still here. You know, 3 years later, we're still talking about policies, and there's a lot of confusion. There's lack of robust, honest scientific discussions because certain people with their opinions are being pushed into the background or censored altogether. And obviously, that's not a good public health approach. You know, traditionally, there's been robust discussions and, alternatives. And that's how we've made so much progress in the field of public health. But that seems to have gone out of the window. And today, we're going to be talking with Dr. Joseph Lodapo, the Surgeon General of the state of Florida, the place that everybody wants to be these days. And he's been an outspoken critic of some of the COVID mandates. And as a result of that, you know, some of the media has tried to vilify him and say that he shouldn't be questioning, you know, federal mandates and interventions. But this is America. His new book, Transcend Fear, a blueprint for mindful leadership and public health. So we want to welcome you. So impressed with the career that you've had already. Even though you did go to Harvard and I went to Yale, I have to give you some credit. But I'd really like to start by asking you a little bit about your upbringing. Because you were actually born in Nigeria, is that right?
That's right, Dr. Carson. And thanks for, it's really a pleasure to get to spend this time with you and your listeners. And it's just a pleasure. I was either in college or in medical school when I first learned of you from, I think, an operation on conjoined twins, and it was, you know, like international news, and it's cool to be able to chat with you now.
Tell me about what it was like. Do you remember much about Nigeria?
I mean, I remember some, not a whole lot. I know there are people, to my amazement, who remember their childhood really, really well, even when they were very small. And that's not me, but I remember some. So I remember growing up in Nigeria, like the house that we lived in. I remember playing soccer with my uncles. I remember that pretty fondly. Mom and dad, not a ton of memories, a few things here and there, not a ton, a few things.
What did your parents do?
So my parents at that time were students. And that, and fortunately, their path led us to come to this country. As my dad came to do graduate school at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, and then my mom and And me and my brother and my sister came, I don't know, maybe 6 months or a year later. And then my dad got his PhD in microbiology at the University of Georgia. And my mom got a degree there also in like business administration.
You know, that that kind of reinforces what I tell people all the time when they talk about the racial wealth gap in America. And I say, it doesn't exist for Nigerians and Ghanaians.
Yeah.
Okay, because I say, if you go to one of their households, you'll find that a bachelor's degree is the baseline. That's sort of like where you start. And it really does say a lot about the importance of education, the importance of family and support, and how those can eliminate a lot of the issues that are obstacles for people. And have you noticed that as well?
Oh, absolutely. It's the great equalizer of our country, the access to education, which is why it's an extra tragedy when you've got school districts that just completely failed their students, and often in the name of politics. We clearly saw that during the COVID-19 pandemic in terms of these, I mean, just insane closures of schools, particularly in very blue, politically blue areas. And it's ironic because such a big part of their position politically is to help racial and ethnic minorities, but they literally, I mean, you could hardly do more harm to racial and ethnic minorities by closing their schools for a long time, closing the schools of their children for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and some of your writings, you talk about the fact that before you left Nigeria, you suffered some abuse. How does one put that behind oneself? Because there's so many people whose lives are sort of dictated by abusive situations that they suffered as a child.
No, absolutely. And I mean, it really, it's a scale from, you know, people that have things that should never happen to a human being. None of these things should happen to a human being, but things that are just unimaginable that happen to human beings, to things that are, you know, maybe not acutely traumatic, but contribute to our daily accumulated stress that we all carry around in our bodies. And the path is unique and different for everyone. For me, I know my path was basically falling in love with a amazing woman who fortunately eventually connected me with an amazing guy named Christopher Maher, who is a former Navy SEAL. And he basically, I mean, it's not stuff that I only did it because literally my wife was at the end of her rope and I didn't have a choice. Literally, I could either do it or leave or, you know, forget it. And my poor wife, she endured many, many, many years of all my BS because of the emotional baggage I was carrying around. So I worked with this guy, and he used things from Chinese meridian theory, like literally working with your muscles and your body to help them let go of stress and tension and trauma, and parts of your body too, in terms of organ systems that hold on to those things and correspond with organs in Chinese medicine and Chinese meridian theory. I mean, it's wild stuff. Like, for example, the kidneys are a place for fear. So there are specific physical like exercises that you can do to help remove that from your body. And that's just one example. But I didn't believe in any of it at all, zero. But I'm a believer now. I don't understand it, but it worked for me. It was beyond transformative. It literally changed everything about my life. And believe it or not, it took 5 days for me to start on that process, for me to And then since that, and that was 3 years ago, and things have only, they've literally gotten better and better, literally it's essentially every day. There's some days where you encounter new things that you have to get through and learn where they're coming from so that you can move past them. But literally, it's gotten better every single day.
But the key is that you were able to go from victim to victor.
Yeah, and I think I don't want, I know that sometimes the word victim has a lot wrapped around it in terms of meaning. And so I want to say that you're right, I was a victim in the way that many of us are victims. We're victims of our anxieties, we're victims of our fear, we're victims of our self-doubt, we're victims of our shame. And so it's not, there's no judgment with that. It's a matter of whether those emotions shape us or whether we travel without them and get to shape the world in the way that we envision and that aligns with our own vision and our own soul and our own connection to God and connection to the divine.
Absolutely. And we can also become victims of peer pressure. You obviously have been able to shake that off and chart your own pathway, particularly as the Surgeon General of the state. Florida was one of the first states to sort of take an independent course and not be dictated to by the CDC. And I think that's pretty interesting that you were able to do that. But what did you think as you saw the treatments for COVID being shut down? Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, a host of other things. Just, no, that's horse serum. No, that will kill you. That will, yeah, I mean,
It'll
it
kill
makes
you.
me drive
Don't
nuts.
do it. It'll kill you. It's for horses. Don't take it.
Well, particularly, when you look at hydroxychloroquine, which is taken by a lot of people, particularly on the western coast of Africa, as an anti-malarial, and their incidence of COVID was dramatically less than anywhere else. It seems like scientific curiosity would have said, well, what's going on over there? How is this working? Does this have something to do with it? Instead, now it's horrible stuff and it'll affect your heart and you'll die.
I know, Dr. Carson, you've been very outspoken about doctors being able to use medicines that they think are effective. And it's nice to be talking to another doctor because, obviously you appreciate how absurd the whole thing was. However people feel about it, and I have colleagues who essentially, they've had really good results with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and some other agents too. I have colleagues who totally, and it's just crazy. If you're a doctor, you get to be a doctor. Your MD says the same thing as my MD. You're board certified. You have a medical license just like me. I may not agree with your choice of medicines. I like, for example, I think that probably statins are great, but we should be really pushing people with heart disease to change their diets and to, eat less processed foods and to increase their physical activity. Those things, by the way, they do just about as well as the statins when you compare the two. And then you could get more benefits if you do it all. But that's medical practice and this witch hunt and terror campaign, this fright campaign, and really this information war, like ivermectin and horses, really? It's like really? It's really mysterious, and one has to wonder, like, what exactly is the motivation? Like, what are you trying to achieve, FDA and doctors who were outspoken in that way, what exactly are you trying to achieve?
Well, it was interesting because I was on the COVID task force, and anytime therapy came up, you know, Fauci et al. Would immediately shut it down. Say, no, man, you can't talk about that. That's getting us off track. But at the same time, and I didn't know this at the beginning, the FDA has a rule that says before it can issue an EUA, there can't be other effective therapies. So they had to sort of downplay all the other things in order to push forward with the EUA for the vaccine. And of course, they don't tell you these things. I think a lot of people would have been fairly skeptical if they knew all the things that went into the making of the stew. That was a very, very unfortunate thing. And then what did you think about the whole concept of vaccinating children when it was so clear that they had very little risk?
Yeah, it's it's really, you know, it's almost like the country was in a trance. Many people in the country were in a trance because now there are more countries, there are more people, more parents. Most parents recognize that their kids don't need these mRNA vaccines. And you know, they vote with their feet. They're not doing it with their kids anymore. But there was a time when, again, it was like the public was in this hypnotic state induced by probably by just the barrage of propaganda from the CDC and the FDA and President Biden and Dr. Walensky and Dr. Fauci, that it was needed to end the pandemic and to stop kids from, you know, from killing grandma, as we often say. And, you know, it just shows how powerful propaganda can be, because nothing has changed since that campaign, that intense message. Nothing's changed. There's no randomized clinical trial data that shows kids benefiting. There wasn't then. There isn't now. There's no, you know, cost effectiveness. There's no analysis that shows that children or their families benefit. There wasn't then. There isn't now. But only now are we in a place where everyone, I mean, just everyone who's honest, recognizes that the whole kid putting these mRNA COVID-19 vaccines in kids, it was all a charade. The campaign was a total charade. It was a total charade, complete nonsense.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've had an amazing career, a rapid rise to prominence. And it would have been really easy for you just to keep your mouth shut and bask in the glory. But you didn't do that. Why did you speak up?
Yeah, well, I got to say, even though I'm chatting with you here, it's really a mom and pop operation. It's my wife and I, and I mentioned earlier, she was the one who got me to see Christopher Maher. I talk about it in my book, Transcend Fear, and just since the beginning of the lockdowns, we've been, you know, talking about the fear, the propaganda, the lack of sense. And that carried us through the lockdowns and then into the you know, the vaccine age of the pandemic and into the vaccine policy. I mean, my wife has been, she's been like, she has been so vocal against these things for kids since, I mean, way even before, I mean, when it was just a twinkle in the eyes of the CEOs of Pfizer and Moderna, she just knew that they were up to absolutely no good. And she's right. And fortunately, again, most parents, you know, more than 90% of parents, like, they're just not touching it for their kids. And thank God, because we, you know, the only safety information we get, the more we get, it's just all bad. And it's not over. We're going to keep getting more and more bad safety information.
Well, I want to talk to you about that in a minute. We have to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Joseph Ladapo.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. More common sense. You know, common sense is not common anymore. I think we've all seen that. This is your weekly dose of common sense, and we're Dr. Ladapo, who's the Surgeon General for the state of Florida. And I want to ask you, what biases did you find in the medical profession, particularly regarding therapeutics for COVID?
There's been a real, almost an antagonism, I think that's fair to say, toward COVID-19 therapeutics that were not Dr. Fauci approved. It's really been perverse. We talked about how hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were treated like they were, you know, cyanide, basically. And then on the other side, there's also been really an elevation of medications some of them have really poor safety profiles. Remdesivir in particular comes to mind. It has a horrible safety profile. And the medication was used and published in the New England Journal of Medicine, as you know, for Ebola. A year or two before the pandemic started. And the trial was published in New England Journal of Medicine, you know, one of our very top medical journals, and that clinical trial was stopped early because the rate
of... I think it was only like 6 or 7 people who had the problem.
The rate of adverse events and death was so high with this. Yeah. It's a super toxic medication. And then Dr. Fauci promoted it, but while he was promoting it, the WHO actually recommended against it, because when you looked at the first 4 or 5 clinical trials that were done, there really wasn't an overall benefit for hospitalized patients. And now I think they've changed their position, but you know, we were basically pushing a medication that has questionable efficacy for hospitalized patients and a horrific safety profile. So, you know, and then with Paxlovid, you know, fortunately, it is a medication that seems to be, there's pretty good data that shows that it helps reduce hospitalizations and death. But at this point in the pandemic, that seems to really be concentrated in older people. So not younger people, even though younger people were being told that they needed to take it. So it's been, and as you know, the medication has an interaction with every drug under the sun. I mean, if you take it, you have to look closely, because it's the longest list of drug interactions I've ever seen. I don't know how they managed to do that, but it's just really weird. I don't know. It's like many of our colleagues themselves have been hypnotized and feel that they just have to follow this script. I don't understand it.
And it is kind of strange. And you know, I thought it was very strange that Dr. Fauci et al. Didn't seem to recognize the importance of natural immunity. It's like, natural immunity, what's that? We never heard of that. I don't think that works. It's really only been recently that they've acknowledged it. How crazy is that? But do you think maybe the reason that they try to push that into the background is if you acknowledge the efficacy of natural immunity, that makes it a whole lot harder to insist that everybody get the jab.
Yeah. Yes, I think it has to be, that has to be part of it. And it's sick to be lying to people just so that you can achieve what it is you want to do, rather than respecting their right to make their own decisions. But yeah, absolutely. That definitely had to, that had to be part of it. And it was, you know, one of the fun things about writing the book Transcend Fear is because I included all my op-eds that I wrote in the Wall Street Journal, and the first one was in April of 2020. So it's like you get to see essentially up to the till the winter of 2021 when I became Surgeon General, like sort of what I was thinking the whole time. And one of the early ones I wrote was like, you know, millions of people have been infected and it's months have gone by. And at that point, this was early in 2020. At that point, there was not a single case of reinfection that had been documented. So obviously there's some protection and I was like, and clearly this should be acknowledged. So I wrote that early in the pandemic, but it's not, I mean, they clearly had it in against acknowledging natural immunity. It's just like,
well, I'm a big fan of natural immunity because I had COVID early on and a very, very serious case of it. And had it not been for the monoclonal antibody, I'm not sure I'd be here talking to you today. But subsequent to that, you know, I had my antibodies tested and they were very strong. And I said, I'm done. And I've been around everybody in every setting with no problems whatsoever. Same thing with my wife. So, you know, I think if we were really smart, we would say, so much for government mandates. We have a tremendous medical community in this country. And why not let them be the ones who make the recommendations? Because every patient is different. There is no one size fits all. We learned that early on in medical school. So why would you now be trying to make one size fit all? Certainly, you know, for elderly and debilitated individuals, what you recommend might be very different than for a strapping, healthy 18-year-old. So, you know, why are you sitting there trying to put them all in the same box? It just doesn't make any sense. It's not logical, and it certainly does not indicate common sense, that's for sure. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, what do you think about the safety issues for mRNA vaccine? If you look at the VIRS data, there's a lot more things with this quote vaccine unquote than there are with all other vaccines combined.
Yeah, I think Dr. Carson, I think the judgment day is coming. I wish it would come sooner, but you know, one of my mentors says, "Don't compete with God." So we'll see what God's timeline is, but it's definitely coming. It's this propaganda about these vaccines being safe, like as safe as other vaccines, is just total hogwash. The FDA, I was just reading a study that they quietly published, or it wasn't the FDA, but it was using, and they were working with the FDA. It was an analysis of, or I think it was a collaboration between the FDA and some private sector data analysis company, but it was analysis of adverse events of special interest and other adverse events with the COVID-19 vaccines. And one of the things, I mean, they found signals for increased risk of pulmonary embolism, acute myocardial infarction, which is, you know, heart attacks for the non-medical listeners, and other things. and there's no public announcement around it. Instead, it's more they couched it as, well, this is preliminary. Well, we're 2 years in now, and you
right.
and this isn't the only study. There's data in from like Denmark and in Norway, the countries in the Scandinavian area that show the same thing, that there's an increased risk of thromboembolic events with these vaccines. So it's just, this is a lot, there's a lot of nonsense and more propaganda, and I
right.
think the judgment day is coming.
Well, last November in clinical research in cardiology, they examined autopsies on 35 individuals with unexpected deaths after the vaccine. And it occurred within 20 days of the time that the vaccine was given in people who otherwise were okay. You didn't hear very much about that study, did you?
Didn't hear much at all. And you have to imagine in this country, there probably have been hundreds of thousands of people who have died within a few weeks of mRNA COVID-19 vaccination. So even if just a portion of them, died suddenly,
right.
similar to the people in that study, clinical research in cardiology, you're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people who were killed by, or essentially were killed, were died because they took these mRNA COVID-19 vaccines.
Right, and they should be made aware of these things and allowed to make decisions on their own as to whether they want to participate or whether they want to go another route. The fact that we had all the mandates for the military, look how many people we lost in the military because of that, at a time when we're having the worst recruitment efforts that we've ever had. And, it doesn't help when you're trying to mandate things. Fortunately, they have come to their senses on that one a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But you still have all these colleges and universities that are imposing these mandates on students as if they don't have the ability to make an intelligent decision if you equip them with adequate knowledge either.
And Dr. Carson, even the people, our military... our military personnel, even those who didn't leave the military, who were opposed to it, but didn't leave the military, well, many of them probably have a real bad taste in their mouth because they feel coerced into doing something that they didn't feel they needed or benefited from. And there's a moral injury with that kind of coercion. I mean, it's really bad.
Well, we will be right back in a minute with our fascinating guests and talk a little bit more about what's going on in the region of changing little girls into little boys and vice versa. We're back with Dr. Joseph Lodapo, the Surgeon General of the state of Florida. There's a reason that everybody's coming to Florida. It's because there are a lot of good policymakers there, including in our health. And there are 1,000 people actually moving to Florida every day. It really is quite fascinating. People are voting with their feet. But one of the things that is very troubling across the entire nation is, and many people in the medical profession are taking part in this, is changing the sex, or at least the sexual characteristics of children because they think that they're in the wrong body. And that sometimes includes, giving them injections, doing surgery, manipulating their body parts, amputating things, building things up. What do you think is the end of this? Are we inexorably moving down that pathway? Or are we going to look back in a few years and say, wow, we temporarily lost our minds?
Yeah, I think some of that look back has already started, fortunately. I think so, Dr. Carson. It's just another farce. People who support these hormone blockers, I mean, they're all experimental. It's all experimental. Mm-hmm. These experimental hormone blockers and sex change operations for children, they like to pretend that there's this big consensus, and it's similar to how people, the same political party, pretended there was this big consensus around the masks during the pandemic and around the need for the kids to be vaccinated and for COVID-19. It's a big stinking lie. The data just are not, they are not supportive in terms of high quality data. It's basically mostly non-existent. The uncertainties are in ways profound. You know, what are the effects on long-term reproductive potential? What is the risk of sterility? You know, what's the improvement in mental health? It's just using analyses that aren't biased. There's so much uncertainty. I think that people, which one of the things I'm happy that we're doing in Florida is being very forthright about with common sense in this area. And I think it's giving some cover or an ally to other people who don't agree with it, but don't feel that they can say anything because, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics says that this is the right thing.
I mean, these are sophisticated people who understand ramifications, long-term ramifications. It just boggles my mind.
I agree. It is. I mean, all I can think is that I know that people often, and I appreciate that you're not one of these people, but unfortunately, a lot of our colleagues who politically, you know, have whatever their own political, you know, sort of a lefter political persuasion, it's really got its claws dug into them. I mean, they really just can't see straight. They just can't separate their scientific thoughts from their political whims or preferences. And so then they say crazy stuff like what we're seeing now, that's not experimental, to be taking away the breasts of children, of girls, or putting boys on a hormone blocker before puberty.
Well, you know, those who are observant have always known that children are curious. And, you know, they're always exploring things. But because a little girl puts on her dad's tube belt and climbs a tree, it doesn't mean she wants to be a little boy. Because a little boy is curious about his mother's high heels and he says, I want to walk in these and see what it feels, doesn't mean he wants to be a little girl. And, I mean, these people are really sort of not looking at the long-term data about what happens when you do these transitions, the high suicide rates, the depression, the anxiety, all these things that are going on. You know, let people mature. There's a reason that people have parents. It's because they're not mature. The brain doesn't mature until middle to late 20s. So why would you be making those kinds of decisions? It makes very little sense. It's really kind of like child abuse, to be honest with you. And I hope that we are coming to our senses. I do see more people talking in a little more logical way about having boys participate in girl sports and things of that nature. So I think there may be some hope for us, but as they say, it's always darkest before the dawn. And sometimes it has to get pretty dark before people can see the light. I think we're just about there. But do you think we're dealing with culture wars, or is it more than that? What's going on in our society? Why is it that people don't even recognize America? I was talking to a Hungarian national a couple nights ago, He said he came here a couple of decades ago because America was the beacon of sanity, and it was a place where you wanted to be and you wanted to bring your family. He said, I don't even recognize it anymore. That's what he said.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've heard, Dr. Carson, people talk about the pandemic as being a spiritual war. And I think that is what's going on. I think that there really is there's a battle right now for the spirit of the nation. You know, is it going to be tech monopolies and government dictating what people should or shouldn't do and what they should or shouldn't put in their bodies and when they can come out of their homes and when they have to close their businesses and all that, and what they have to, and whether they have to put something on their face, whether they like it or not. You know, it's a battle between that and people who believe in the spirit, in humanity, in that's the most important, that humanity is the most important thing to preserve and protect. And you know, what comes from humanity? Well, all the natural good stuff, like, you know, love between in a family and the care of children and the recognition that children are children and not adults. Mm-hmm. And of course, a love and appreciation for freedom and a respect for people's preferences. So I think it is a battle for the soul, for the spirit of the nation. And I do think we'll prevail. And many of us are in this battle. And I really do think we will prevail.
Okay. Well, it has been absolutely fascinating talking to you, and you know, please continue to be a beacon of light and courage for everyone, a tremendous role model, and hopefully someone that other states will look to for some guidance when it comes to common sense. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Carson. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry to you. Christmas, Dr. Carson.
Thank you. Well, and we're back, and that was a fascinating session with Dr. Badapo. Honest and fascinating talk about public health policy in the state of Florida. It takes a courageous and an honest person to do what he's been doing, and we're very grateful to see that kind of leadership. You know, medicine in this country is spectacular, but it does not get there by everybody thinking the same way. There has to be discussion. Sometimes there has to be disagreement. Sometimes there has to be controversy. It may be irritating to some, but it's sort of like the irritant in an oyster that produces a pearl. And, you know, suppressing those who don't agree with the main establishment is not beneficial for progress. And we must keep that in mind. In a country that's as diverse as ours, the my way or the highway theory just doesn't work. And we've got to learn how to be able to have discussions, to do some give and take, and to be able to move forward. And for your assignment, for your prescription for this week, I want you to think about that as the holiday season is upon us. And when you sit down at the dinner table on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, instead of bringing up political issues that are divisive, think about the things that you're thankful for, things that we like about each other, the things that we agree upon. Let's not let political acrimony destroy this most beautiful time of the season. And that's it for this week. And I hope you will make sure that you listen to all of our podcasts, Spotify, Apple, anywhere that you go to get your podcasts, they're there. Make sure that you rate us. Tell your neighbors and friends and family about us. And remember the cornerstone principles: faith, liberty, community, and life. Merry Christmas, happy holidays.